Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. When you find your place there, you can hold your place and turn back to John chapter number 13. We'll read one verse of Scripture in John and then go back to 2 Corinthians and stand to your feet, if you would, as we read this one verse of Scripture in John. John chapter 13, and then as I said, we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Very familiar passage of Scripture, John 13. You know what's happening here. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet, and he makes a statement to them. In verse number 15, he said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." He said in verse 16, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." We've been talking about being happy. I think some people think, well, you know, you can be happy, and it really doesn't matter how you live as long as you do a few things. But the Bible teaches that happiness comes from obedience. Obedience in trusting God, obedience in fearing God, obedience in the things that we've talked about. But here Jesus just spells it right out. It's not enough just to know what to do in life. I think that every person sitting under the sound, or standing right now under the sound of my voice, really knows basically what God expects of us. But knowing is not enough. We have a world full of people who claim to be Christians who know what to do. Knowing's not where it's at. Actually, knowing can indict you and indict me if we're not willing to do what we know. It'd be better not to know than know and not do. There's a greater punishment. But Jesus said, now, if you want to be happy, you're going to have to do the things that you know, the things that he has taught us. And so when we go to 2 Corinthians in chapter number 7, he elaborates a little bit on that through the Apostle Paul. I think a lot of times we live by our own commandments. We live by our own feelings and our own thoughts instead of God's commandments and God's truths. We think because it's good that it's right. Not everything that's good is right. You understand that? I don't think that there's a person in here that would think that the Shriners' work is not a good work. They help children. But is it right? Are they right? Do we support them? See, there's good things that's not necessarily right. You can't give to it. You can't support it. And I trust that you'll listen very carefully, because I think we get these things mixed up sometimes. And we think because it's good, or it's good for me, then that's what I'm going to do, and it'll be right for me. Well, if it goes against what the Word of God teaches, it's not right for you. And so I want to talk to you about that. Let's read verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Father, help us in these few moments that we have together. Help our minds to be open and attentive to not only the teaching and preaching of your word, but the ministry of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. So, what's happening here? The Apostle Paul is writing a church that, well, God had some good things to say about the church. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. He actually said that these saints were sanctified, but yet, he said, the way you're living is a disgrace to the people that are looking at your life. You say that you're Christians, you say that you're a Christian church, and he said there's some things that need to be addressed. And so he told them the things that need to be addressed. They had some open sin in the church. And he begins to talk to them about sanctification. Now, here's a word that scares a lot of Christians. And I'm just going to talk to you from my heart. I want you to just hone in here, okay? Sanctification scares people. Shouldn't scare you. Sanctification is a work of God in your life. It is very important. It's the secret to happiness. It really is. And the apostle was writing the church here at Corinth, and he said, I want you to get the secret of what it is to be happy. He said, you know what the secret to happiness is? Holiness. Doing what God said. Being what God called you to be. Now, this thing of being saved, well, the Bible says we're justified. And it also says that we're glorified. It's as good as done. It's a future act, but it's as good as done. We're as good as in heaven. Our citizenship's in heaven. We've been justified. That's salvation. That's a past tense work. God saved us. And we're glorified. God is going to save us. You say, what do you mean? He's going to save us from the very presence of sin. God's going to take us out of this world one day, brethren. God's going to do that. But now, right now, the work of God in my life as a believer is the work of sanctification. That's the work of God in your life as a believer. Now, sanctification is really broken up into two categories. There is the positional sanctification. God has put me in Christ. I am set apart. That's what the word sanctified means. We've been set apart. God saved us to do something. God didn't save us just so we could run around saying we're saved. God saved us for a purpose. He gave us a purpose to serve and a purpose in life. That's called sanctification. That's a positional. We're in Christ. We're separate. Now, our part in sanctification is practical. And in that practical part, there's some progression. In other words, we grow. You should be more sanctified in your life now than you were, say, 3 years ago. There's a growth stage. We grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number. Well, let's start out in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to notice, I don't know how much you know about the church of Corinth. If you've read any at all in 1 and 2 Corinthians, you know, this church was struggling, all right? I mean, they had some open sin, and they just had a lot of fractions and division in the church, envy, immorality. There's some things going on in the church that was very displeasing to the Lord. And yet, when Paul wrote this group of people, look in verse number 2 of chapter 1, he said, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. Wow. Set apart, right? Been made holy, sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now that's a positional, all right? That's positional. That's what God makes us. Now, I pointed that out for a purpose. I want you to know there's a lot of folks, and we can all be guilty of it, and I want to help you. I want to live what God's deemed me to be. I want to reach my fullest potential. God sanctified me to be something. God sanctifies everyone He saves to be something. Now, you can fall short of that. I want you to know that. You can fall short of what God has purposed you to be in life. It's up to you. It's up to me. See, that's where choice comes in. Now, God sanctifies us. When He saves us, He sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He saves us for a purpose, for a duty, for a work. And it's our choice if we're going to follow God, walk in the Spirit, seek the Lord, let Him direct our paths in fulfilling that He has sanctified us to do. That's where the practical sanctification comes into play. Everyone with me? Very important. Because I think that there's some folks that believe, well, you know what? I'm just going to let go and let God. That is not biblical. What are you letting go of? I sure hope that it's not your will. Amen. You need to exercise your will to do what God said. God's not going to make you do it. Don't think you can let go of the wheel and God will just make it happen, brethren. Listen to me. These little old pithy, quaint sayings that are on Facebook are not biblical. Many of them, just not biblical. So be careful. Don't think, well, you know, I get my doctrine from Facebook and social media. You need to get it from the Word of God. Amen. I tell you, it's terrible how folks are just buying into this and saying, well, you know what? I'm just going to let go and let God. Now, that's no way to live. You stay focused. Amen. And so here Paul said, you're sanctified. You've been set apart. God has a purpose for you. Now the question is, am I going to fulfill that purpose? See, this is where practical, this is positional. He said, this is what you are. You're sanctified. Now that is being, that's a present tense word. See, justified, I've been saved. Glorified, I'm going to be saved. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. I'm going to be saved from the very presence of sin. But right now, God is working in my life, and He has given me the power. Now listen to me, that I could be set free from the very power of sin. I have a choice now. I once was a slave to sin. Satan was my master. But now I'm saved. I've been justified. I've been bought with a price. Actually, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. The Apostle Paul says this. He said, you've been bought with a price. Amen. And that price is the precious blood of Christ. That's in verses 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to go back to verse number 9. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. And of course, that just means, that's a word that is very akin to sodomy. The effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Self-gratification, and those that are involved in pornography, and those that are involved in fornication. Nor thieves, nor covetous. We talked about that a little bit Sunday, the covetous. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now watch this. But and such were some of you. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. There's our word. You're washed. You're sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So the Apostle Paul is saying, folks, you're living below your calling. And he said, I'm writing you to exhort you to live according to your calling. You have been sanctified. You have been set apart. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit to walk in the Spirit, to do the will of God. And he said, I'm going to encourage you to practice sanctification. So now we get over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And Paul writing the second letter back, they had taken care of a few matters. And Paul writing them back, and he said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is probably one of the most important scriptures for a saved man and woman that you could ever have that God has given us. What is God saying here? I want to just break this verse of scripture down with you. All right? We're not going to get into any kind of deep theological dissertation, but I tell you what we are going to do. We're going to take this verse of Scripture with the help of God, and we're going to find out what God expects of you and I. God has expectations of us, and those expectations are for our good. It's not that God's trying to rob us of our joy or trying to make our life miserable, right? God wants us to be happy. God wants us to be joyful. God wants us to allow the fruit of the Spirit to be yielded in our lives. What is that? Love. Joy. Peace. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Temperance. Meekness. Right? I mean, hey, these are wonderful things, and God wants these to be evidenced in my life as I am sanctified, as I yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And if I'm living according to my calling, then these things are going to be evidenced in my life. It doesn't matter what happens to me, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be active in my life. The fruit of the Spirit is not affected by the circumstances of my life. The fruit of the Spirit is affected by my obedience to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Amen? Yes. And so I can't say, well, you know, this is happening, so therefore I had to cuss that guy out. You know, what? Well, you know, I have a bad temper. That's no excuse to sin against God. Well, you know, I have a short fuse, or I have a wandering eye. We could go on and on and on. People making excuses for their sin. There is no excuse for sin. There is no excuse for sin. But now I want to talk to you about sin. I want to talk to you about how God views sin. See, God views sin differently than you view sin. God views sin differently than I view sin. And we have kind of drew the line closer to the world on this thing called sin. Sin is devastating, brethren. It's devastating. Sin will ruin your life. Oh, yes. Sin will ruin my life. Sin will ruin your marriage. It'll ruin your home. It's like a cancer. If I could draw a picture of sin, I would draw a picture of a mad, rabid dog and turn him loose in the nursery. That's what sin does. It just pounces and unleashes on innocency and helplessness. And we have to be careful who we open and what we open the door to in our lives. The door of our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Sin gets in and it destroys, it defiles, it devastates. And we've just taken a very light view of sin. God doesn't take a light view of sin. God warns us over and over again. He says, son, listen, Dale, listen to me, son. Sin will ravage you. Sin will take you places you don't want to go. Sin will paint a pretty picture and it'll give a good message, but in the end, it will destroy you. It will tear you up. It will take you down. That's what sin does, you see. But we have so excused and coded sin that we've almost made an excuse and justified it. We give it little pet names and we act as though that we have no control. But I want to tell you, you do have control. If you're saved in the grace of God, sin hath no more dominion over you. That's what the book teaches, brethren, in Romans chapter 6. I sin as often as I choose, just like you. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that the sin nature is not present. The sin nature is present. And therefore, Paul said, you know, that I do, I don't, and that I don't, I do. And, oh, wretched man, he said that I am, right? What a struggle, what a fight. But now, please don't think that God hasn't equipped us with resources to win the fight. It's just a matter of, are we going to lay hold of those resources? And so the Apostle Paul said here, let's look at it. Having therefore these promises. What's the promise? Many years ago, I was taught as a young Christian, when you see the word therefore, you just find out what it's there for. Having therefore these promises. What's Paul alluding to here? Well, to be honest with Scripture, we have to take the Scripture in the context in which it's given. And so we go back, therefore, speaking of a former statement or a former group of statements. And so I think we go back to chapter 6, and we're just going to go back as far as verse 14. So let's do that, okay? Chapter 6, verse 14, the apostle said this, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? You be careful who you hang out with. Sin will get into your life that way. Can I tell you that most of the people that I know that have fallen or out of church and that have backslid on God right now did so by getting around the wrong company? Evil communications corrupt good manners, brethren. Amen. You're saying, that preacher, I would never do that. Well, now, be careful. I'm not saying live in your basement, you know. I'm not saying go into isolation. I'm just saying be careful. God's saying be careful. Take note of who you spend your time with. You will become like the people you spend your time with. Yes, brethren. We all do. And so he said, you be careful. Don't be an unequally yoked. Don't be, you know, just putting yourself out there in the wrong place with the wrong people. It's hard to do the right thing when you're in the wrong place with the wrong people. Amen. I didn't say you couldn't. I said it's hard. Then look what he said in verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having, therefore, these promises, right? God said, now there's some things you're going to have to do. God said, I want to be your God. I want to be the God Almighty. I want to guide your life. I want to lead you. I want you to walk in the light. I want you to enjoy the life that I have purchased for you. I want you to reach your fullest potential as a born-again believer. That's what he's saying. He says, so I'm going to warn you about some things that can hurt you. So let's look at some of the wording that he uses here, okay? Look at verse number 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Now I want you to underline that word. That's the word we're going to talk about. I like the way the apostle said it here. Let us cleanse ourselves. Now, as Christians, we're not really used to saying that phrase. Let us cleanse ourselves. What a statement. What's he saying? Well, we'll come back to that one. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. There's a second word we're going to talk about. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And that little phrase, flesh and spirit. Let's talk about those words just for a moment. If we have time, we'll get down to the latter part, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. What are you saying, God? To your man, the Apostle Paul, what are you saying here? He said, well, I want you to enjoy my calling on your life. I've saved you out of something, and I want you to move on away from it. Don't turn back to it. Don't hang around it. It's time to move on from that. You've got to grow. You've got to move forward, and you've got to become what I've called you to be. Develop into what I've called you to be. Don't look back. Amen. Don't hang. You have to move on. Now, in order to do that, he said, there's some things you have to do. The first thing he said you have to do, and that's what he said. He said that word filthiness, all filthiness. He said, this is the way God views sin. It's filthy. It's just filthy. See, I don't know that we view sin that way anymore in our country, even in our churches. Sin is just filthy. It's just rank. It's vile. It's wretched. It's dirty. It's slimy. It's terrible. I just don't know that we view sin that way anymore. I think we view, he didn't really lie. He just exaggerated. No, God said it's lying. Well, he can't help it. He has alcoholism. No, he's a drunkard. See, that's what God calls it. Yes. And we've so candy-coated and we've so taken lightly what sin is and we made an excuse. Well, he can't help it. Well, sure he can. Well, she couldn't help it. Well, sure she could. See, it's amazing how when we want to say we have choice, then we'll go to bat for choice. I think we're kind of seeing that in this abortion thing and the vaccine thing, aren't we? I mean, the same crowd that just says, choice, 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 my body, my choice. Now that, you know, the mandate thing, well, you know, when people say, well, it's my body, my choice. Oh, no, no. Well, now, wait a minute. You have to be consistent. Amen. Choice. Choice. If you're saved in the grace of God, you can overcome sin. You should not be enslaved to sin any longer. You've been set free. You've changed masters. Amen. And we have to view sin as God views sin. God help me. God help you. God help us, brethren, to view sin the way God views it. It's filthy. It's filthy. Now, how are we going to do this? You say, preacher, it's going to take more than you standing up just kind of pressing on me that I ought to view sin as filthy, especially my sin. See, usually the sin that's filthy is their sin. Right? Yeah. Well, their sin's filthy. I can't believe old brother so-and-so did that. That's just filthy. Of course, my sin's not filthy, right? It's just kind of, well, it's just kind of off color. No, it's filthy. All sin is filthy. God views all sin as filthy. Is that what he said? Having therefore these promises, look at it again, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. It's just filthy. You ever had a smudge on your face or maybe on your clothes and you were out in public and didn't you notice people were kind of looking and you were wondering, you know, you thought they were kind of admiring the way you were dressed or the way you had your hair combed, and then you get into some light and you look and you find out that you got a big old, you know, some kind of mark on your face, a dirt spot, or you get something on you, maybe some spit up for your younger fathers, and, you know, where the baby spit up on you, and it's just left a stain there, and the light reveals it. Now, I want you to listen to me. We'll never view sin as what it is until we let the light shine on it. The light shines on to shows, it shows me the light of God's Word is not only a mirror, it's a light. And it just says it's filthy. The reason that we don't view sin the way God views sin is we're not reading what God says about it anymore. We're not spending time in the presence of God and getting the light of God in the matter and seeing what God said. And God said sin was filthy, brethren. It's filthy. It's vulgar. It's vile. It's wretched. It wrecks. It ruins. When we really see what sin does to us and to others, we'll begin to eschew it. Job was a perfect man in his day and upright, and he loved God and he loved righteousness, and he eschewed evil, which means he abstained from it. He refrained from it. He viewed it as filthy. So we've got to view sin as filthy. When you begin to look at something as filthy, I guarantee you you'll stay away from it. Someone bring you a glass of water and it's got filth in it, you're not going to be so quick to drink it no matter how thirsty you are. Filthy. But I think that we have really, you know, we just really changed our view on some things. And now we think that, you know, no longer is one act. It's almost like it has to be multiple acts before it even becomes close to filthy. We've just moved too close to the world. The darkness has set in and the light is not shining and we're not seeing things the way God sees it. Filthy. And so he said, in order to really be happy, in order to really understand what God has called us to do, we've got to have a proper view of sin. You want to help people? View their sin as it is. But start, watch this very carefully. With your sin. Notice the word. Let us cleanse ourselves. Not yourselves. Oh, the Holy Spirit of God was very particular in the word he used here. I need to look at my sin as filthy. That's right. I need to take personal responsibility for my sin. Cleanse yourselves. Amen. If I'll begin to see my sin as filthy, I believe it would really help me when I view the sins of others. I want to view sin the way God does, and I believe you do too. And I'm just calling on you, let's be careful. Let's be careful. Not to overlook or to candy coat or to justify or to say, well, it's a different day we live in, or try to excuse or no. Sin, all sin. Again, look what he said. Cleanse, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. Get it out. Amen. So we're going to call this the characterization. God characterizes all sin as filthy. Not just other people's sin, your sin. Not just other people's sin, my sin. Not just little sin, there's no such thing as that. All sin is filthy. It's filthy. Which brings us to our second thing. It's not just that God characterizes, God even categorizes. You say, well, God doesn't categorize sin. He does in this verse. But he does it different than man does it. See, man categorizes sin by big and little, or, you know, major and minor. God kind of departmentalizes sin. Notice what he did here. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. That's one category. And spirit. That's another category. See, there's sins of the flesh. We call that sins of outward sin or action, maybe. And then there's sins of the spirit. That's inward. And that's, well, that's a little more of an attitude than maybe an action. But God said, you know, we've got to take care of both of these. See, we're really hung up on the flesh sin. We're hung up on it big. I mean, we really are. We're so hung up on the flesh sin that we'll talk about people's flesh sin and make it a sin. We'll be gossiping, which is a sin, by talking about people's flesh sin. We'll be sinning in the spirit while we're talking about people's sin in the flesh. Amen. You got to be careful. You say, well, now, preacher, I just believe that there's no way that adultery could be the same as gossip. Well, I'll tell you what Jesus said. He said, lust is equal to adultery. If you look at a woman with lust in your heart to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus did. He said, if you look at a person and you have hatred in your heart, you've murdered that person. I'm telling you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Read it. See, we've got so hung up on the outward. Listen, I'm not saying that we should excuse any of it. Here the Bible calls it all filthy, flesh and spirit. But somehow we've got so... I'll tell you what, you go home and you read John chapter 8 tonight and you'll see how Jesus felt about it. When those Pharisees brought that woman taken in adultery, I want you to see how he dealt with her, that outward sin, and then see how he dealt with them, that inward sin. You see. And then you make a determination. See, we're the exact opposite. That's right. We think if we can't see it, it's not there, and so it must not be sin. I'm going to tell you something. There's more sin in people's heart than listen, it's what's killing our churches. I just doubt that there'd be many people in the congregation of Fellowship Baptist Churches out playing the lottery. Don't know. I'm not the secret police. Listen, I'm going to go around policing people's lives. Now, there's some pastors that's taken that upon themselves. This pastor's not going to. I shepherd the flock. I don't police it. I will tell you this. The Holy Spirit of God will police you. Amen. Now, there ought to be some discipline. But you'll find nowhere in the Bible. If you do, you bring it to me where the Bible tells the shepherd to police the sheep. Lead them. Feed them. Protect them. Amen. But you have the Holy Spirit of God that'll do that. So he's categorized it. Sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit. So please, let us not think, well, you know what, I don't commit adultery and I'm not a drunkard and I don't do drugs and you ought not do any of these things. I don't gamble. But now if you gossip, you have filthiness in your life. If you are a backbiter, you have filthiness in your heart. If you are a slanderer, you have filthiness in your life. Amen. And I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. And so we have to watch both, don't we? Don't we, brethren? We have to watch both. Listen, it's an easy thing to fall into any sin. But I'm afraid that we have almost championed sins of attitude and sins of action We've almost made it like that that's the only sin. But that's not what God said. God said, I want to categorize this thing for you and let you know that just because you're not doing it outwardly so that man can see it, you're doing it inwardly, I see it. I see all sin. And God said, I want to tell you what I think about all of it. It's filthy. And it'll hinder your life. It'll hinder your walk with me. And it'll take away that measure of happiness. You won't reach what I've called you to be. You'll fall short of my calling and my purpose for your life. And God said, I don't want that for you. I want you to reach the fullest that I have for your life. So I say this as a warning to you and to me. We want to be happy. And I preach some messages on being happy. And I think that God intends for his people to be joyful and happy. But now it's not going to come without some introspection and without some obedience to the Word of God. We have to look at what God says and say, you know what? Sin is filthy. And if I'm involved in it, I need to confess it as filthiness and ask God to forgive me of it. If it's of the flesh, it's filthy. If it's of the spirit, it's filthy. And it affects my walk with God. Either one of them do. Amen. And so we said, please be careful. And I'm saying this to you. Be careful now. Be careful. Don't think because, you know, maybe you've got five sins that you've, you know, I haven't committed adultery and I haven't been a drunkard and I'm not a dope addict and I'm not a thief and I'm not a murderer and so I'm okay. Well, are you a gossiper? Are you a whisperer? Did you know that those things separate chief friends, the Bible says, in the book of Proverbs? It does great damage to the body of Christ. Are you jealous? Are you envious? Does it really just tear you up when God promotes someone that you think that maybe you should have been promoted? Or when someone gets their name called and you think your name should have been called? Or when you've done something and you didn't get the notoriety that maybe someone else got when they did something? Are you envious? See, these are the things that are killing the spirit in our churches today. And I just want you to enjoy life. And I'm here to tell you, God said, that kind of stuff is filthiness. It'll go to work in your spirit. It'll make you have a bad spirit toward people and even toward God. And so please be careful. Now, what can I do, preacher? I'm guilty. Well, aren't we all? That doesn't make it okay. Well, the first thing we can do is we can say, God, I want you to help me view sin as you view it. It's filthy. I want to view sin in my life the way God views it, filthy. How am I going to do that? Stay in God's Word, stay in prayer, stay in the light, walk in the light as He is in the light, be led of the Spirit, be sensitive to God's leading in my life, and when God points out something in my life, don't deny it, don't try to justify it, confess it, forsake it, and move on. Amen. Don't wrestle with God on this one. If God said it's filthy and you need to get it out of your life, let's confess it and move on. God, help me to move on. Flesh and the spirit. God, my attitude's just rotten. I'm just so negative, and everything that comes out of my mouth, I'm just running people down, and I'm just always talking down people, and I'm always nothing, no one's ever good enough, right? Huh? I'm just always talking about people and their situations. Use that talk to pray for them. Amen. It's easy to fall into it, brethren. Sins of the flesh and the spirit. So what are we going to do? He said, well, look what he said. He said, cleanse yourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves. We know what cleanses us from sin. What he's saying here, it's very similar to what Jude said when he said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Position yourself to where you know that God loves you. God loves you whether you know it or not. When Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God, what he's saying is you keep yourself in a mindset, in a communion with God to where you know God loves you. See, God loves you, but you need to know it. Amen. See, what a difference it makes when we know God loves us. Same thing here. You confess your sin. You do what God said do so that you can receive the cleansing. Right? So my suit gets dirty. And by the way, this old suit does get dirty. And I'm not meaning this one. I mean this old old man of ours. Amen. We walk around in this old world, back to John 13, our feet's going to get dirty, brethren. That's right. We're going to get dirty, and we need a cleansing. But this suit, literal suit right here, this suit coat gets dirty. I take it to the cleaners, and I come back, and Sharon said, well, that coat looks different. I said, well, I cleaned it. I didn't clean it, but I had it done. I took the steps to get it done. Right? When Paul said here, let us cleanse ourselves, he said, you need to take the necessary steps and actions that God has laid out in His Word, which is confession, acknowledgement. When we acknowledge our sin, when we confess our sin, now listen carefully, when we agree, that's what confession means. When we agree with God on the matter, my sin is filthy, God, just like you said it was, and I'm sorry I committed it, and I'm asking you to forgive me and to cleanse me. The Bible has promised that God would. Now that's the negative side. That's the negative side. There's just some things that we Christians are going to have to quit doing. I could name a list, but then I'd miss yours. See, you know what yours is. It may be a television program. I don't know. I tell you, I learned something this past week, and parents, possibly you know this. I don't know. I want you to listen very carefully if you have young children at home. I was sent something by a preacher friend, and I mean, it stunned me. This gaming, this online gaming, I mean, this stuff is rated X. And I'm not talking about for violence either. I was stunned. You need to know what's going on in your homes. Don't we, brethren? This is a different day we live in. I thought gaming, listen, I'm Atari 5200 guy. I mean, you know, I thought Pac-Man runs around eating colored ghosts or something. My goodness. There's nudity, there's obscenity. It is absolutely mind-boggling to what this thing has become, and it is a high-dollar industry. And people get online. You need to know what's going on. You say, well, that's my children's business. They live under your roof. You need to make it yours. Now, I'm trying to help you. I'm not saying this. I'm not trying to say this to embarrass or to ramrod. I'm saying this as your pastor, as someone who loves and cares about you and your family. Be careful. The movie industry is smutty. Are you listening? Disney has gone to the sodomites. Hear me out now. Be careful. Got men kissing in Disney productions now. Well, I'm going to continue to watch it. Well, then you're not going to be clean. You're not going to be happy. You see, there's decisions to make. I said it Sunday. People say, well, money don't satisfy. Well, sure it does if that's the level you want to live on. But there's a higher level. There's a greater level. There's some things that money can't buy that God has for you and I. Brethren, it's greater than any dollar bill. Listen to me. No matter how many zeros you put behind that one, God's got something better for you if you'll trust Him. Isn't that right, folks? The devil's got some things to offer. He has some substitutes. Don't deny it. You'll lose your credibility. Who's going to believe you? You'll lose your credibility with people you're trying to witness to. There's pleasure in seeing for a season, but God has something better, amen, greater, amen, long-standing. And so he said, this is the negative side. You're going to have to cleanse yourself from this filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. There's just some things that have got to go. I'll take 2 minutes and I want to say something about the positive thing. I was taught when I got saved, you try to quit smoking, it's not enough just to say, well, lay them down. It's not just enough to say, you got to take those cigarettes out of your pocket or out of your sleeve. That's what people did when I was a smoker. They wrote them in their sleeve. Well, wasn't that cool? Guess we showed them. And so I was taught, son, when you take that pack out, put your New Testament there. You've got to replace what you take out with something that you put in. Isn't that right? Now see, we all, most of us were taught that as young Christians back when people were discipled. When the church was discipling people, you don't just quit things, you have to replace the things that you quit or remove. Listen, salvation, living for Jesus, is not just giving up stuff. Can I tell you, a fence post can do that? I don't commit adultery. A fence post doesn't either. I'm not a drunkard. Fence post isn't either. What you have on a fence post. But I tell you what a fence post can't do. You praying? Fence post can't do that. You in God's Word? You walking in the Spirit? Are you replacing those negatives with some positives? Because if you don't, I'm going to tell you what will happen now. You're going to slip back into it. Little by little. Read Matthew. I think it's Matthew 12. Where that man cleansed his house of the evil spirit. Swept and garnished it. But he didn't replace it with anything. And that spirit came back with seven more. And the latter state was worse than the first. That's right. And so listen, don't you think, now I'm going to leave and I'm just going to quit doing some things and my life's going to change. You've got to replace those things now with some godly things. Put some things in those vacuums. Put some godly things in there. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Read. Pray. Share. Care. Get involved in helping people. Don't make life about you. Find somebody that you can minister to and do something for. Even if it's just something small to you, it'll be big to them. I think we've all experienced that, right? I mean, they just act like it was just the smallest thing, but it meant so much. It's just a card to say, I'm thinking of you and praying for you. A text. I'm thinking of you and praying for you today. It's a small thing, you think. It takes about, what, 30 seconds, maybe a minute? You might have just made a person's day. You might have made their week. So I want to encourage you now. Having therefore, let's stand to our feet, these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. If you got some things that just need to be cleansed, you need to do some cleaning. Do you? I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what's in your life. But now God does, and you do too. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. And it is filthy. Sin is filthy. And if you view it any other way, you have been deceived by the devil. Get in the light and let God show you sin for what it really is. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. If your attitudes become sour and rotten and negative, ask God to turn that frown upside down and put some joy in your heart. Remind you, you have some things to be happy about. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There's separation, but then there's consecration. And we'll talk more about that, the Lord willing, next week.